Take your Bibles, if you would, and if you please turn to the book of Daniel, chapter number 10, if you have them with you. Daniel, chapter number 10. And I think this is going to be the last in our Wednesday evening series of messages. Of course, one on Sunday evening, but series of messages out of the book of Daniel. We still have a little bit to go on the prophecies of Daniel in our Sunday school hour at 9:30 Bible study time. And so that's where we're at. But I've enjoyed this. I've enjoyed going through this with you. And I hope that it's been a help and a blessing to you in some way. But Daniel chapter number 10. And I want to read, really going to cover this chapter. I'm not going to read the entire chapter right now. Maybe you can do that later when you go home. But I want to read a few verses at the beginning, a couple at the end, and set the tone here for what's going on. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1 says, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." And so note there in verse number 2, it says, "I, Daniel, was in mourning 3 full weeks. Now go to the end of towards the end of the chapter in verse number 18. It says, "Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the king, prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince." Dear Lord, help us now as we take a look at the Word of God and look at Daniel during a time of mourning and a time of burden. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. When we get to Daniel chapter number 10, you know, we started off this book, Daniel is a young man. But we get to this point, Daniel's not young any longer. He has seen the fall of the great Babylonian Empire, and he has seen the rise of the Medes and the Persians, and he has seen all of that come to pass by this account that is recorded for us in this chapter. As a matter of fact, many estimate that he was maybe nearly 90 years old at the time of Daniel chapter number 10. It's recorded here as happening in the third year of Cyrus. In verse number 1, it says very clearly, third year of Cyrus. And for comparison, Cyrus gave the decree to go back and rebuild the temple in his first year. So if you just comparing this with other parts of the Old Testament, Ezra chapter number 1 talks about the first year of this King Cyrus. Here Daniel is in the third year. So he has lived through what is called that Babylonian captivity time. He's lived a great deal through that, long enough to where some of his people are now allowed to go back into the promised land, into Jerusalem, for the purpose of rebuilding the temple. When we began the book in Daniel chapter number 1, very famous passage of scripture, when we begin the book there, we see Daniel, the young Daniel, experiencing great victory as a young man. But here at the end of, towards the end of his journey, we see him here as a burdened man. Now, wouldn't it be a great thing if we could achieve such victory in our youth that we never had to face another burden in this whole world? Wouldn't that be great if a person could, you know, in their youth, they could see God work in a certain way, or however it be, and then that get to some sort of spiritual plateau where nothing ever bothered us or nothing ever affected us, or our faith was so strong that we just never were beaten down or never were brought down. Well, we see in Daniel, even Daniel did not experience that. Verse 2 shows the extent of where he was at this point. It says that he was in mourning. That is the word used, mourning. He was in a burdened state, a distressed state, a lamenting state here for a space of 3 full weeks. And it was, this time was accompanied with a time of fasting. He later in the chapter, it's described, look at verse 16. Now he has an encounter here that will ultimately help him. But he look at verse 16. It says, "And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength." He was so burdened down, and he hit a point here, even when he kind of hits, I think, the bottom of this, where the Lord sends help for him. And he comes to this point, and he says, I'm so burdened, I have no strength. I can't go any further. I can't proceed. He later in the chapter, he is further described, his sorrows came upon him in verse 16. We think of Daniel as a lion, but this chapter shows him as a man with a burden, a man that with even a weakness. What could have caused such a burden to be upon the shoulders of Daniel? There's, I think, several things going on in the background here. We know that Daniel had been shown a lot of things that would come to pass. As a matter of fact, if you remember in our study together, there are times where God revealed things to Daniel that caused him to be troubled just from what God showed him would happen, specifically pertaining to his people, the nation of Israel. He struggled with some of those things. He was burdened down. In one case, he couldn't do the king's business, the Bible says, for several days. It was almost as if he was sick by what he saw. But God always reminded him that he was in charge and that he had a plan and that he had hope. Amen. Could have been the return of to rebuild the temple. If you think about Daniel, you ever have something where your expectations did not meet reality? I don't know if this was the case with Daniel, but in the first year of Cyrus, the decree went out to rebuild the temple, this fantastic temple that had been a major part of the worship and the history of the nation of Israel. And now they were going to be allowed to go back and rebuild this temple. But if you know anything about the book of Ezra and anything about some of the other minor prophets, as they're called, that process did not go smoothly. It was met with struggle. It was met with turmoil. Furthermore, not everybody went back. There were a lot of people, when they said, time to go back, or you can go back, there are a lot of people, I think we see this even in the book of Esther, that took the attitude, you know what, I'm good right where I'm at. I'm fine right where I'm at. And maybe Daniel found himself in the host of the older generation that realized that the rebuild of that temple in its initial stages was not going to match the glory of the temple that had been there before. Now, Daniel might have had a little dose of "it ain't like the good old days" syndrome that can hit some of us, as he realized, you know what, things aren't happening exactly in the speed, and they're happening just like God said they would, but they're not happening just at the splendor and the speed that I wish they would. Perhaps it was something like that. Over the years, Daniel, of course, had understood what would take place. He understood that ultimately there would be victory, but in the meantime, perhaps he was grappling with the understanding there would still be oppression for his people. There's also a combination in verse 1 that might explain where Daniel was at. I think it was really many different things. I think it was related to everything God had shown him, but look at verse number 1 at the end of the verse. He says, but the time of, he says, and right in the middle of the verse, he says, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. Daniel's faith wasn't shaken. He said the thing was true. But maybe his patience was being tested a little bit. He said the time appointed was long. You know, even as a believer, you can be a born-again child of God, and as a believer, you can believe in the truth of God's word, but there are times where just the waiting for things to be carried out can become a burden to one's soul. You know, you can apply this to a lot of things. You think about even in human relationships, you know, when someone's wronged, you know, what do we want to do? We want immediate action when we've been wronged. But you know, God says in Romans chapter number 12, he tells us not to revenge ourselves. He says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And you know what? We can go, you know, I'm going to trust God to bring that about. But then, you know, it takes a while for it to happen, for it to come to pass. The thing, we can know the thing to be true, but the time can be long and it can cause us distress. We see that all throughout the scripture where we can believe in the promises of God, but understand the promises of God play out in God's timing, not in our timing. There were many things that no doubt weighed upon him. He was here. We are given in this passage, though, another insight into Daniel's struggle. He was dealing with, and this is the part, you just want to read something that's right in the scriptures and that's interesting to read. Go and read Daniel chapter number 10. Daniel was dealing with the unseen forces of struggling with the unseen forces that were actively working against the plan of God. Now, I like to let scripture speak for itself, especially in areas like this. And here, if we go down to verse number 12, one is sent to help Daniel. A messenger from the Lord is sent to help Daniel. It says, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God. Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, if you and I can only, we can't even fathom what all that's talking about. He's talking about a struggle, an unseen struggle that took place between the prince of Persia. I don't think that's talking about Cyrus, by the way. I think that's talking about one that is one part of Satan's forces that worked even through the kingdom of Persia in order to try to thwart the very plan of God. And it's a reminder, we'll get into it in a moment, but there's a struggle that the believer faces that sometimes comes from the world that is unseen, where Satan seeks to work against and to thwart the plan of God. I want you to now, we've kind of set the table a bit this evening out of this passage. I want you to now consider Daniel's burden. There might be somebody here tonight, you're burdened. There's a weight that you're carrying. And it doesn't matter who it might be. Daniel, I remind you, was Daniel, and yet he was still at this state and at this place. Daniel is a man that walked with lions. But in reality, he was a lion among men. You think about him, we preached recently about him facing the lions in the lion's den and how he did so with calmness. But the reality, amongst all of humanity, Daniel was a lion among men. He was one that stands out. In Ezekiel chapter number 14 and verse 14, I want to just read this to you. Ezekiel would have been a contemporary of Daniel. And God was pronouncing the various judgments and things about Jerusalem and things of that nature. And here is what God said. Now think of this message delivered about one of your peers to Ezekiel. God said, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. So God, you know, we like in our world, people, you know, whether it's a sports figure or something, you know, who's on the Mount Rushmore of NBA players, or you know, who is the GOAT? You know, I remember when a GOAT was a bad thing. You know, if a guy missed a shot, Bill Buckner lets the ground ball go between his legs. You know, all the Red Sox fan. You know, I know. I'm not trying to bring up bad memories, but I remember when that was considered to be a GOAT, like in a bad. And then I remember people saying that Tom Brady is the GOAT, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, what does that mean? And I, you know, the greatest of all time. You know, people get into these comparisons. Who is the greatest of this era? Well, think of it. God said, hey, these three men, I'm going to give you three of the greatest men that have ever walked the earth. And he mentions Noah. And you're like, man, yeah, of course, Noah. What? Look at what Noah did. And he mentions Job. We think, man, yeah, think about who Job was. But he also plugs Daniel right into that trio. This is the kind of person that Daniel was, as thought of by his Lord. In Daniel chapter 10, where we are right now, there's another way that Daniel's described. This isn't the only place, even in this chapter, that Daniel is described. But Daniel chapter 10, verse 19, the Bible says, O man greatly beloved. You know, just pause for a moment and think. Right now, if you could know what your reputation, wonder what our reputation is in heaven. You know, that's the scoundrel. You know, that's the one that, you know, yeah, they're saved, yet so as by fire. You know, I wonder what it could be. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that it might could be. Do you know how Daniel was known in heaven? Greatly beloved. And that's not a statement of favoritism. That's not a you're better, you know, you're the teacher's pet. That is, his character was thought of in such a way in heaven that he was considered greatly beloved. And yet, all of that, the man who walked among lions, the man included amongst Daniel, I mean amongst Job and amongst Noah, the one that was considered greatly beloved, we could go down the list, the one that was highly esteemed by multiple empires that came in and took over, that very man was here, and the Bible says he was in mourning for 21 days. He was burdened by something. He was weighed down by something. Daniel's burden was at least partially provoked by physical things in a physical realm. We listed some of those things. But at the source of Daniel's struggle was a battle that was taking place in the spiritual realm, in the realm of the unseen. We read it already. One is identified as the prince of the king of Persia who withstood Daniel's heaven-sent messenger. Later on, this messenger would refer to the prince of Grecia. Look at verse 20. He says, then he said, lo, knowest thou whereof I come unto thee, and now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am come forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. Now, Daniel knew, he understood that Greece, the Grecian empire, would follow the Persian empire. He knew that those kingdoms had been granted jurisdiction by God. But rest assured that when God grants jurisdiction, Satan seeks to cause chaos. You know what? Satan is always keenly interested in what God is doing. Oh that we, from the right perspective would be as interested as Satan is in what God is doing. Because see, Satan understands that what God is doing is the most important thing that can be done. And you know what Satan seeks to do? He always seeks to cause chaos where God has granted jurisdiction. That's a principle that flows throughout history. You can mark it down. If there's a home, God has granted certain jurisdictions to the home. You know what Satan does? He wants to tear up homes by causing chaos. You know what? The church is God's institution here for this earth. And you know what? Where God has granted jurisdiction, you know what Satan wants to do? He wants to cause chaos. And you know, we can get down to the individual believer. When a person trusts Christ as Savior, the Bible says, you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. And you know what Satan immediately wants to do? He becomes very interested in what's going on there, and he wants to cause chaos. Now, I think we as believers, we should not primarily occupy our mind with the work of Satan. I think you need to be careful about going off the rails of the Scripture, what the Scripture says about Satan and his work. But the Scripture says enough about Satan and his work to where we can know that Satan is at work. So much so that we must heed the admonition of Ephesians chapter number 6. This is, I read to you from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Friend, rest assured, your problems are not just physical problems. There is an evil one who seeks to cause chaos where God has granted jurisdiction. It is always the case. He has always operated that way, and he's always will. That's why a man in his youth like Daniel can see great victory, and why a man in his days like Daniel can walk among lions, and yet Satan will still be at work to cause chaos, because if he can take out a Daniel, then he can affect multitudes. And so often I think you'll find that as you grow in the Lord, the burden does not get easier, but at times it gets heavier. Why? Because where God is working, Satan is keenly interested, and he's keenly interested in causing chaos and delay in the work of God always. That's why it's foolish and silly to expect the work of God to go on with ease. As a matter of fact, beware of the where it seems like the work of God is going on with ease. There's some situations where one may look and go, oh, seems like that never had, all there is just kind of flowers and rainbows and nothing ever goes wrong. That's almost, I'm not going to speak ill of anywhere else, but that's almost a red flag within and of itself. Why? Because I can guarantee you, if God's at work, the devil's interested in what's going on. And so while we don't need to go off the rails of Scripture into what has happened here in Daniel chapter number 10, I think we can clearly read it for what it says, understand it for what it says, understand that in the world powers of the day and the one that was to come, Satan was keenly interested in what was going on, and he was keenly interested in hindering anything from happening in Daniel's life. I think we can read that and understand that the same forces are at work to this very day, to where Ephesians, the New Testament book of Ephesians, says, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan is interested in two things. He's interested in keeping those who are in darkness still in the darkness, and he is interested in creating chaos to those who are in the light. You say, why doesn't my coworker see the truth of the gospel? I've told them that Jesus died for their sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I've explained it. I've made it. I mean, it's easy. It's plain. I can see it. Why? Well, there's one that's working to keep them in darkness. Why do people fall away? Why do people backslide? Why do people who once had a vibrant testimony? Why do they stop? Why do they stop serving the Lord? Why is that? Because there is one working to make it difficult. And Daniel experienced something of a burden there. Satan works tirelessly to hinder the work of God on this earth. There's a spiritual evil that strives against him and manifests itself through the system of this world. The Bible warns us, as New Testament believers, you know, for example, 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And we can be the undiscerning Christian can say, well, what's the big deal about this? But the discerning Christian understands that there is something evil working behind that which might even on its surface seem a little bit innocent. Oh, my Christian liberty says it's okay, but wait a second. Where does this come from? Because there's one working to thwart the work of God. It was true in Daniel's day, and it's certainly true in 2023. That's Daniel's burden. I want you to notice, secondly, Daniel's challenge. What was his challenge here in this chapter? It's here where when the believer is tested, that the greatest challenge is faced, and it's this, waiting on the Lord. I want to remind you what he says, what happened in verse 3. He was in mourning. He was in a state of fasting and prayer. I think you could describe it that way. And look at the last part of verse 3, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. How it doesn't take a tremendous mathematician for us to figure out that 3 whole weeks is 21 days. Now if we go into verse number 12, I'll go to verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. This is when the messenger from the Lord comes. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come before thy words. So Daniel for 21 days, 3 weeks, had set himself apart to seek answers from the Lord as he described mourning. He was burdened. He set himself apart. And it's very clear that on day one he was heard. But, he says in verse 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me, how many days? 1 and 20 days. Daniel went 21 days praying, wondering if he would be heard from God. What he did not see, what he did not know, is that from day one he had been heard. But it would be 21 days before he would receive an answer. Isaiah chapter number 40 and verse 31. Remember, Daniel confessed later on, I think it was in verse 16, how he was without strength. But in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, the Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Daniel had spent 3 full weeks in mourning and in a posture of fasting and prayer. He had heard nothing during that time. However, he would find out that from the first day thy words were heard. Sometimes seeming silence from heaven does not mean that your words have fallen silent in heaven. Oh, wouldn't it be great? I mean, it'd just be dynamic, wouldn't it? If every prayer we prayed within seconds, we just knew the answer. We knew how it was going to come to pass. We had it clearly in front. Wouldn't that be a tremendous thing? We think it would. The reality is we'd be insufferable. Because very quickly, our prayers would turn. We would miss the purpose of what was happening. God would become to us but a genie in the bottle where we, you know, go, oh, all right, never mind, I'm going to take care of that, step aside somewhere in a little spiritual phone booth and utter a prayer and boom, it was taken care of. But you see, that's not the purpose of any of this here. See, God uses even the working of Satan in order to purge the chaff from his children. And that happens as we wait on the Lord and understand that his purpose is bigger than our problem. God's chief goal in our life isn't to make our life as comfortable as it is as possible for us. If that were the case, there'd never be anyone who ever suffered anything for the Lord. But that's not his chief goal. His chief goal is to see his purpose carried out on this earth. Daniel was, God was seemingly silent, but it wasn't silence. God heard. God hears the words of his children. We must learn to patiently wait on the Lord. Renewed strength does not come from any other source. There are people today running on caffeine. running on all sorts of other things. I'm talking about even believers, children of God, that at times need to learn just to wait on God to get their strength. Kind of just dragging yourself, but wait on the Lord to renew your strength. That was Daniel's challenge here. Day one, nothing. Day two, nothing. Day three, nothing. All the way through day 18, nothing. 19, nothing. 20, nothing. But on day 21, he heard from heaven. I wonder how many people have quit on day 20 when day 21, the answer was going to come. You know, I've never seen anybody that waited it out and never heard anything from the Lord. I mean, I'm talking about they just wait and never, there's never that person, I don't think that person's ever, but there's been plenty of people that have bailed out before the answer came. Amen. You may be here tonight burdened. You say it's day 300. Wait on the Lord. That's the challenge. You made it through yesterday, you can make it through today. God got you through yesterday, you can get through tomorrow. He got you through today, he can get you through next week. He can take care of it. Wait on the Lord. Amen. That's the way renewed strength comes, not some temporary flimsy thing, but some genuine renewal of strength that can come from the Lord that only the Lord can provide. Amen. Patiently wait on him. Renewed strength doesn't come from any other source. And then thirdly, I want you to notice Daniel's renewal. His renewal didn't come from food. Now, I point that out because it talks about him. His diet was very limited and very restricted at this point. He said he ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh. It seems like he was just, he may have eaten just, the guy was maybe 90 years old. I mean, he was probably, you know, but whatever the least amount that he was eating, he was eating. And he wasn't eating it for fun. It was just to make it through, just as he was fasting and praying to get a hold of God. His renewal didn't come from food or friends. There was no indication that this messenger that came from God here set before him a banqueting table. That's not where it came from. It didn't come from friends, the companions that were with him. And there were men that were with him when this vision came. They didn't see what happened. As a matter of fact, they were terrified and fled. That's not where it came from. Daniel was, first of all, assured in his standing. I remind you, we read this in verse number 19. This messenger from heaven said, "O man greatly beloved, fear not." Daniel was assured in his standing. There might have come a point where Daniel kind of doubted where he stood in the Lord. Do you have assurance in your standing before God? You know, the only people that can possibly answer that positively are those who have been saved. Do you have confidence in your eternity in the Lord Jesus Christ? One way we might ask that question is, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you would go to heaven to be with him? If your answer is no to those questions, there can be no assurance in your standing. And you know, because of that, there is no respite from the burden that you might be carrying. In the great Christian allegory, Pilgrim's Progress, Christian, the key character there is one who is carrying a burden, and there was no burden relief that could be found anywhere else until he was found there at the cross, where he understood that his sins could be forgiven. And then that burden rolled away. Friend, if you're carrying a burden and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there is no further help in that burden until you've put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You might sit here listening, maybe online, and go, "I cannot say confidently that I know for sure that heaven is my home." Might I encourage you to listen to the appeal of Paul as a man came burdened before him one day and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul responded this, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Amen. Put your faith in him if you're not assured of your position in him. But child of God, remember, If you're burdened down with something in this life, be assured in your standing before Him. You are His as His child. Amen. You know, it should bring comfort to us, just knowing that I am His child and He is my Father. Yes. He told His disciples, He said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. We talk to Him as a child talks to his father. Daniel was assured in his standing. Daniel was reminded that he was not alone. Amen. Look at verse number 18. Then there came again. Now, I haven't gotten into in detail into this messenger, and there's a lot of interesting things to think about. But in verse number 18, it says, Then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. That touch, just maybe a hand on the shoulder, a hand on the back. You know what? It was a reminder. You know what? Your friends who are here, they don't really get what's going on, but there's one with you who's different than your friends who don't know what's going on. There's one that's been in the battle. There's one who has contended with this prince of Persia. There's one who has fought on your behalf. And that touch there was a reminder that, Daniel, you are not alone, that there is one with you watching over you and one with you walking with you. And if you are a believer, if you are a child of God, might you be touched by His hand to remember that you are not alone. There is one who has fought the battle for you. And there is one that's watching over you and that's with you and able to bear that load with you. Daniel was reminded that he was not alone. And then Daniel was encouraged by the strength of the word. Verse number 19 said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. That's why, if you think about Daniel faced lions. But he had to be told here, fear not. Yes, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And notice what it says, and when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. He was strengthened by the word. Furthermore, in verse 21, he was promised. He said, I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. Daniel was strengthened by, encouraged by the strength of the word. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why it's important to not neglect the scriptures. And why? Because in them we find strength and we find help in time of need. You can open this wonderful book, and there's no telling what kind of strength you'll find from the word which lies within. You know, one way to surely know that Satan is at work is when you're discouraged and your desire to read the scriptures is small. Because he knows if he can keep you away from the word, he can keep you away from your strength. Daniel was strengthened by the word. God knew exactly what Daniel needed. He needed to be reminded, go back to verse number 1, that even though the time was appointed, and that he needed to be reminded that even though the time appointed was long, that the thing was still true. Amen. We sang that wonderful hymn by Fanny Crosby, talking about seeing her Savior first of all. If you don't know, Fanny Crosby was blind. You know, I'm sure she longed to see. She knew that she would see. And think about in her, she knew that she would see. She knew that was the truth, but I'm sure at times it seemed long. But you know what she did? She fixed her hope on that time when she would open her eyes for the first time and see her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Daniel, God knew what Daniel needed. He needed to be assured that it was true. Even though it might be long, it was true. You see, the Christian life will be challenged with burdens, but it is a life that is to be lived by hope. And that hope is not just the hope of heaven, although that's a big part of it. He gives us hope for this very day. A believer, if you're burdened, listen, bring it to Him. Wait on Him. Don't bail out. Don't quit in your walk with Him. Wait on Him to give you the strength that He needs. It might just be that before too long, you'll feel that touch on a shoulder and a reminder that I'm yours. I'm here with you. I'm going to walk with you. I fought for you. And I see you in your time of need. Dear Lord, we thank you for the day that you've given us.